What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll to what you have to say.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better. Wake them up. Get them up, get them going. Friday on B&E. The weekend starts now. Certainly started last night into a busy Thursday night with everything going on. World Series Game 5, always pivotal in a 2-2 series. Astros come out on top. What a ball game last night in Philadelphia. Tough and tight and tense all the way through. Delivered for sure, but the Astros get a huge win. We'll dive into Game 5 and now looking forward to Games 6 and possibly 7 down in Houston in the Fall Classic. We had high school football, we had college football, we had pro football last night. We'll get to all of it. There's some concerning stories out of the NBA. Not a lot of basketball last night, only two games, but a couple of headline stories off the court in the association. We'll dive in there, and we've got a college football weekend and a pro football weekend on tap that are tremendous, including a big, big challenge for the Texas Longhorns. Coming off their bye week, headed to K-State tomorrow night up in Manhattan. The Little Apple, as they call it. We'll get you a full preview here from Steve Sarkisian, getting ready for that ball game. Going to be a busy one. It is a lot to do. There's a lot going on this weekend outside the sports world as well. On this 4th of November, we've got severe weather in the forecast. Big-time tornado risk coming up later this evening into the night. Also, we're going to fall back and change our clocks back and a lot happening this weekend, so we're going to get it rolling. We appreciate you being there, however you find us. 4 hours of tremendous conversation begins right now, whether you're on 104.9, maybe 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and you're always able to stream it on your Horn app, or you can take us wherever you go, on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com. Let me say good morning to the men and women at Fort Hood, Texas, and all our military installations throughout the great state, all over the country, and all over the world, who do what they do so we can do what we do on a daily basis, which is talk all the sports of the day. And our friend Ty Harrington is back for one more day as Bucky Godbolt continues to recover from his surgical procedure he had earlier in the week. Ty, how are you, my friend?
Well, I am great. I'm going to tell you what. First of all, I hope Bucky, when he wakes up this morning, he's probably already up, feels a lot better. But I got to tell you what, if you're a baseball geek like I am, and obviously an Astros fan, last night was unreal.
Heart-stopping.
Real. There were so many things about that as a baseball person that you could take out of there and go show your kids, your team, your people, but just yourself on how cool and how unbelievable and how high stakes drama last night was. And you're going to hear, I'm going to say it a handful of times today, pitching and defense win championships, and it did it last night without any doubt.
Yeah, after a couple of, I think games 3 and 4 were kind of outlier games, right? Games you don't see that often in a World Series. You know, the 5-home run game for the Phillies in game 3 on Tuesday night after the weather delay on Monday night. So we've never seen one pitcher give up 5 home runs as they just shelled Lance McCullers 7-0. Then the no-hitter, of course, in game four, which we have never seen but one other time in a World Series game. Last night, a little bit more like a World Series game, just tough and tight and pitching and defense and clutch hitting. And we'll get to all of it, the heroes and for the Astros. And then, man, there are a lot of them. Also, the Phillies, man, they knew how important that game was last night in Philadelphia. So the Phillies have now lost back-to-back games. Let's get you caught up on how it went down. There was a lot to keep up with last night. Maybe you were at a high school football game or watching football. Baseball, it's hard to focus on one thing. Let's get you caught up on the headlines of your Friday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, we'll start with baseball, and what a game last night. Tough and tight. Game 5 of the World Series. Astros held off the Phillies 3-2 to take a 3-2 lead in the best-of-7 series. Headed back to Houston, Justin Verlander earned his elusive first-ever World Series win in 9 tries. He tossed 5 innings. Battled all night, allowed just a single run on Kyle Schwarber's leadoff home run in the first. Houston rookie shortstop Jeremy Peña continued his incredible postseason. The MVP of the ALCS was a stud last night. Singled home Jose Altuve in the first inning to knot the game or give the Astros their first run. His fourth inning solo home run off of Noah Syndergaard gave the Astros the lead for good. And his eighth inning single that moved Jose Altuve over to third allowed Altuve to score a huge insurance run on a fielder's choice in the eighth. Four Houston relievers backed up Verlander. They knocked down or locked down the game's final 12 outs. Allowed just a single run. That included Ryan Pressly, the closer, a five-out save. To get the Astros a win away from their second world championship in five seasons. Series shifts back to Houston now for Game 6 tomorrow night. If necessary, Game 7 Sunday night. Game 6 will have Framber Valdez set to face right-handed pitcher Zach Wheeler for the Phillies. Week 9 of the NFL kicked off last night as well. This was a Houston-Philadelphia battle as well. Texans hosting the Eagles. It was Philadelphia getting the better of this one. Jalen Hurts threw a pair of second-half touchdown passes as the Eagles shook off a forgettable first half to pull away and win it 29-17. Eagles 8-0 for the first time in franchise history. Texans 1-6-1 on the year. Final week of the regular season in high school football kicked off last night. Bevy of Thursday nighters, including several that were moved up ahead of the severe weather that's moving in this week, tonight. That included an historic night at Burger Center. That's where LBJ blank Crockett 49-0. And the Jaguars rookie running back Cedric Alexander ran into the record books.
On second down and 7, the ball is at the Crockett Cougar 17-yard line. The handoff. To the right side, Alexander, turn in the corner. Alexander to the 10, to the 5, touchdown and a record for Cedric Alexander. 17 yards on the touchdown run for Cedric Alexander, who has just become the all-time career rushing leader in AISD history.
There it was, the great Craig Way on the call last night as LBJ gets the win also last night. Westlake flattened Buta Johnson 70-10. That's the 50th consecutive win for the top-ranked Chaps. Vandergrift ripped Westwood 59-10. Hayes topped Lehman 49-29. And Hutto held off Weiss in a really good one 41-38. Full slate of Friday night football tonight, including Lake Travis hosting Bowie. You'll hear that here on the Horn. Of course, our Flex ATX pregame with Snoop and the crew goes live at 6:30 tonight. Obviously, all the games tonight will be weather permitting. From the NBA, disturbing story from San Antonio. A former Spurs psychologist has filed a lawsuit against the team and former player Joshua Primo for indecent exposure incidents on several occasions. She claims team officials ignored and attempted to cover up. Dr. Hillary Cawthon says that in her suit that Primo, who was recently waived, exposed his genitals to her 9 times in their individual private sessions. She reported to team officials nothing was done about it.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so there is your headlines, trending topics. We'll get to the top stories. But, Coach, I know you're chomping at the bit to talk about this baseball game last night, and why not? I mean, it was tremendous from the jump. You know, Justin Verlander battled his guts out and wasn't perfect. Had trouble all night. The Phillies battled him, and you know, Schwarber's home run in the first was all he gave up. But it felt like he was kind of on the ropes most of the night. But he you know, does what a Hall of Famer did: battled the Astros in. And then I don't know what you can say about Jeremy Peña. This kid continues to be the baby-faced assassin. I mean, he looks like he's 16 years old, but Distin continues to deliver in the biggest of moments for the Astros. I call him Baby Jeter, because he's got this, you know, Derek Jeter-like quality about him where he just, you know, he's slick, he's smooth, but boy, he just makes the big play in the big moment, the big hit, the big at-bat, continues to be the stalwart for the Astros amid all these stars, right? I mean, you got Bregman and Altuve and Alvarez and Tucker and all these guys, and it's this kid, a rookie, just continuing to deliver in the biggest moments for the Astros.
You just put a lot out there, because last night there, and we'll have a handful of times this morning to talk about it. There were so many little things that happened. Number one, Verlander was the guy that you wanted to be the Cy Young winner. There was, you know, first pitch of the game. You guys didn't understand, and he knows he's 0-7. He goes in, the very first thing that comes out of his fingers is a home run, right? His team goes out and gets him a lead on kind of a misplayed out there, you know, on the triple or the double. It could have been triple. And so he gives up a homer. It was supposed to be it looked like a fastball. I wasn't convinced it was trying to go up in the zone because the ball leaked back to the right some. hits a homer. Now you got to gather your thoughts and go, oh gosh, here, you know, first pitch, and he does, and he gets has tremendous battles. I listened a little bit this morning, and Dusty Baker said, you know, Tommy John was talking to him in the dugout, a teammate of his, saying, you know, an okay pitcher gets into trouble once. A good pitcher gets into trouble twice and gets out of it, but a great pitcher gets out of it three times. And he felt like Verlander was at that point. He was at 97 pitches. And this game is so beautiful. It is such an incredible game. Verlander's out there. He knows he's nursing a one-run lead. He has not won a game in the World Series before. He's in the fifth inning. He's at 90 pitches, and he has a 10-pitch at bat with Castellanos, and he finally gets him with his breaker to get him to pop up to center field. And it was his breaker that salvaged and saved him last night, not just his fastball. He had to go to his breaker on multiple times to get out of stuff. And then probably the biggest pitch of the game is a 2-0 pitch. Harper hits the gets the double. Now you got a 2-0. He falls behind on Castellanos on 2-0. And what does he dial up and go to like a big leaguer does? He goes to a 2-0 breaker or slider away, gets him to swing and foul it back, and all of a sudden gets back in the count and gets out of the at-bat.
Yeah, I mean, as an Astros fan, you're watching this thinking, I know Dusty's trying to get him through five so he can get that elusive first ever World Series win. But Castellanos has been struggling, but boy, he had some really good at-bats last night. 10-pitch at-bat was the battle there after Harper, you know, ripped that double into deep right field. As you know, Harper was everybody has a hard time with Bryce Harper, and certainly Verlander did last night. The matchups of future Hall of Famers there, but yeah, the at-bat with Nick was tremendous in that fifth inning. He fouled off, gosh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 balls.
Yep.
Got to 3-2. And then, yeah, goes to the breaker, and he kind of got it off the end of the bat and flied out to left. I was very nervous at that point because, obviously, at that point, it's a go-ahead run. Sitting out there at second base and Bryce Harper. They're down 2-1, and that's about the game-tying
run
because Pena had hit the home run in the fourth inning to take the 2-1 lead. And so the Astros hold on to the lead, and then that bullpen, which has just been locked down.
Unbelievable.
Comes in and really delivers for Houston. Over and over again, including Ryan Pressly, who, you know, the only reliever the Astros have put on the mound in this postseason who has even been a bit rough is Montero, right? Montero came in and was I mean, he's got great stuff, yet he nibbles.
Yeah.
Like, he's nibbling on the corners at 98, and I'm like, dude, just throw the ball into the strike zone. We can't be walking people here. Back-to-back batters in the eighth. They had to go get Ryan Pressly, who came in and does what Ryan Pressly does. I mean, just a great ball game. And obviously, if this is the pivot point of the series, because typically in a 2-2 series, you win game five, especially going back home. Houston has a couple of shots at a world championship Saturday and Sunday. But remember, Houston had the same situation back in 2019. They won, you know, game five in Washington, turned around, came home. You felt good about it because you had Cole and Verlander and a chance to win a championship. They didn't do it. The Nationals won both games. And that was a team managed by A.J. Hinch, of course. And So, the Astros have a chance to revisit that and get it right this time because Astros now 4-0 all-time in franchise history in Game 5s.
Well, I feel really comfortable and confident thinking that the Astros, who have been one of the best, if not the best team in baseball, off and on throughout the year, right? And they showed it last night. I thought the pitch, their bullpen, what they gave up their first run off a hit other than a home run last night. And, you know, Segura had a great game last night, by the way, for the Phillies. He played unbelievable.
He's a professional hitter.
Yes, he is. He has played really well. And there were so many things that happened last night to wrap it all and throughout this morning, it's going to take about 4 hours going in and out of different segments to get to it. But the reality was, too, how about this? Pena, we got a runner. Altuve gets on first in the seventh. Pena, Dusty, you can say what you want. Dusty Baker's old school. I totally agree. I think that's part of his strength. Somebody dialed up. It's either a hit and run or a run and hit. Because on the they get to first and third. Altuve goes to first and third on the base hit to the right side. Pena does an unbelievable job of getting his hands inside the baseball, pushing it to the right side where the open gap is, where the second baseman's covering. So if it was a hit and run, the only thing that made me think it wasn't, I didn't see Altuve look in. As you go on your second step, you're supposed to look in. They tried to deke him at second base. He does get to third, but whether it was a running hit or not, he had the ability and the baseball knowledge to hit that thing right in the open gap where the second baseman was covered. That's the game because they get Altuve in on a ball down the line. It kind of takes a trick hop off, looked like a spike mark, and kind of bounced back. And Altuve, with all of his great base running skills, reads ground ball down. He gets a great jump, gets out of there, and scores. I think it would have been hard, even if he feels it clean, I think it would have been hard for him to get his hips and his shoulders turned to throw him out at the plate. And that was the deciding run. When you get right down to it, little baseball. Little man baseball execution. Yeah, they did it.
And execution is the right way. And if you're a fan like yours truly, you're watching it as a coach. And I know you're rooting for the Astros, but not like I am. That was execution. I mean, it was like every pitch was just edge of the seat. About to lose my mind and knowing how important this game is. And it was, you said it, championship baseball is played with clutch hitting, pitching, and defense. And the defense for the Astros, incredible last night. How about Jeremy Pena on a laser, 105 miles an hour off the bat, making a play at shortstop. Trey Mancini with the play at first base on the rocket down the line. And then, of course, the play you'll see over and over again if the Astros go on to win this World Series, Chaz McCormick. The Philadelphia native up against the wall, jumping on the fence there in one of the Phillies' last hopes. I mean, defense had to be there, and it was all night on top of the pitching, on top of the clutch hitting.
Well, the defense, and we're going to talk about Mancini's play in a little bit. We're talking about now. We're going to bring it back up again. Again, you hear people say, well, it was just luck of the draw that he was holding the runner on, so he happened to just be there. That's true, but not true. It's true he was holding the runner on and he would have been in that area. But in that situation, you got runners. That's the tying run and at third. The go-ahead run's at where? First base. So you're telling your first baseman no doubles. You're easy off. What that means is once the pitch is made, instead of getting two extended shuffle steps to go cover more ground to your right, you just take a soft step off, easy off, to guard what? The line. To protect against doubles down the line.
We'll give up a single if he
gets
it.
That's right. That's right. So what that was design baseball with a guy who's a very accomplished first baseman, a great defensive team, whoever's the infield coach is or the alignment coach was hollering at him, hey, easy off the bag. So that, in other words, when that pitch was smashed down for that very reason, and he was there to make – and it was a tough play. He had to tackle it. But, honest to goodness, it was a reactionary play of 150,000 ground balls he's taken this year. And then all of a sudden he gets a top spin ball. He's holding the line right there, easy off like he's supposed to, and makes a great play.
3-2 final. Astros win it. They're up 3-2 in the series. And we'll talk more baseball throughout the morning. As Coach says, there was the coaching clinic from Ty Harrington. We'll have our Coach's Corner next hour. And by the way, in our Coach's Corner, in 1 hour, about 7:10, we're going to talk to Quan Cosby.
Yes, sir.
Talk some Longhorn football. Quan, the Q man, can talk some baseball, too.
He is. He can talk football, baseball, and don't let him kid you. He'll carry that 10 handicap around, and but it's better than that. He just carries that around. I think it's been at 10.
I think you and I agreed yesterday.
Yeah, for a couple of months.
Quan is the best scramble partner. And if you get into a golf scramble tournament, you want to play with Quan Cosby.
That's right.
Quan is – got stories for days from his days in baseball and football and the Longhorns, and he can play some golf, and he likes to smoke a cigar and have a good time. So we'll talk to Quan coming up. We'll also get a Craig Way report this hour. Somebody said, how does LBJ get Craig Way to be their voice? You know, the high school football last night, pretty good. And, yeah, you know, that was something here on the radio stations. We wanted to carry LBJ football because they're such a good team. And we carry Lake Travis. Westlake has its own radio broadcast here in the market. We have Vandergrift on the radio and LBJ. We wanted to get them on the radio. And so Craig calls their games because Craig loves calling high school football. And that's what makes him a Hall of Famer. And you couldn't tell if Craig Way was calling a Longhorn game, a Super Bowl, or the LBJ Jags at Burger Center against Crockett. It's the same broadcast over and over again, which is what he's all about. And, yeah, what a historic night for the young guy, Cedric Alexander. He is now the all-time leading rusher in AISD history, going past Mull Bakar. The former Houston Cougar who had held that record. Mulba played for Tom Herman down at Houston. And, you have names like former Longhorn Victor Ike on that all-time AISD list. And the list goes on. But now the all-timer is Cedric Alexander in the LBJ Jags. But that's the answer to why Craig Way gets to call those games, because he loves to call those games over on 105.3 The Bat. I would also say this. We get this text every morning. And I know in addition to the fall back and change your clocks this weekend, the storm that's coming in tonight, Tuesday is the election, right? If you haven't voted yet, get out and vote. Whatever side of the aisle you want to go vote for, go vote. Or you can vote for either side, by the way. We play political ads. I get the texts all the time about F this or F this candidate or F that. I hate that candidate. Why do you play that? Can I just say this again? It's a public service. We are required to play political advertising on the radio station. It's part of our FCC license. if a candidate is going to pay for it, we have to air it. We actually have to bump spots that are already paid for to air political commercials. We can't say no to them. Yeah. So from either side of the aisle, just so people know, like, the, you know, you hear a Dan Patrick ad or the governor's ad, Beto or Greg Abbott, you know, we have to air them. We're not siding with anyone. They pay for them. We put them on the air. And as a matter of fact, by law, Ty Harrington, the rate for those ads is the same at all stations across the market. Yeah. And all stations that are an FCC station are required to carry them. So just don't get all dandered up about your guy not, you know, hearing somebody you don't want to vote for on our airwaves. It's beyond our control. It's part of the way the game goes.
Just go vote.
Just go vote.
Just go
make
vote.
Make your vote count.
That's exactly
whoever you want to vote for. But don't hold the radio station accountable for that. It's just part of the deal. We have to do it. Part of our license. And happens every couple of years. The midterms are coming. I did see where Governor Abbott's going to be having a rally this morning out at the Hayes City Store, like one of our favorite spots. They're going to be out there this morning in Hayes County. So get out and do your civic duty. Get your vote in. You got till Tuesday to get that done. But just to put that out there, we have no control over that. So don't feel like we are endorsing a candidate just because you hear a commercial in our stop sets of candidate A or B or C. Okay, so we've got baseball. We've got football. Eagles beat the Texans last night, 29-17. I did stream this and was watching it on my iPad while I was watching the Astros game last night. It was a pretty good setup in my sports watching room there up in the front. And, Eagles were sluggish in the first half. It was 14-14. I said yesterday, the only way the Eagles don't cover the 14 is if there's a fluky fumble or fluky turnover or something early, and it happened. Jalen Hurts fumbled the ball. Texans scored a touchdown, and other than that, it was all Eagles. I mean, 29-17, you eliminate the – my prediction was 31-6. The fumble that led to the short field touchdown for Houston really covered that. It turned out to be 29-14. It would have been 29-10 without it. But either way, Eagles are 8-0. As this text says, the Eagles are very beatable. Well, sure, last night the Eagles were beatable. But so far this year, the Eagles are unbeatable. They're 8-0 for the first time in their franchise's history. Travel on a short week on a Thursday night game to go get that win. I thought that was a quality win for the Philadelphia Eagles to stay undefeated. And the Texans are the Texans. They're a lousy football team.
Yeah, they are right now. I mean,
Damian Pierce looks good, though.
Damian Pierce is a stud. I mean, that was the most curious part for the Eagles. And that's where I lead the short week. And, you don't have a lot of time to prepare because the Eagles were soft in the belly. They were soft in the run game between the tackles. And that is not typical of the Eagles team that we've seen this year. The Texans were able to saddle up their run game and get behind Laremy Tunsil and Kenyon Green, the Texas A&M rookie, and Titus Howard, their right tackle, and really push the pile a little bit. And Damian Pierce was able to run the football, which teams have not been able to do very well against the Eagles this year. And that's how they controlled the game a little bit, got it to 14-14 at halftime. But second half, two big turnovers really swung the ball game, and the Eagles are 8-0. Now they get a little extra time to prep for almost like a second bye week when you win that Thursday night game. Now you have 10 days off to play again. But 8-0 for Jalen Hurts back in his hometown, grew up in Channelview. Gets the victory, and I thought he was really sharp in the second half. They were sluggish in the first half, no doubt. That kept the Texans in the game, but in the end, double-digit win for the Eagles, another one.
And I got to say this, T.Y., thanks for picking me up on the Texans conversation, because in all honesty, last night I was at a fundraiser which is called August Heart, which is an incredible fundraiser. And what they do is they raise money to test all the student-athletes' hearts, high school student-athletes' hearts in San Antonio. From the Coons family, and it was a beautiful thing. They raised a ton of money, and it saved several lives, several of them. So I had my phone as I was at the fundraiser watching the baseball game on my phone, but I was not able to pull in the Texans, although it would show the score once in a while. So I appreciate you stepping in and talking about the Texans, because I got to be honest.
Well, that's what we're here for.
It wasn't part of me, right? That's right.
Well, I got to be honest. I didn't catch very much of it either.
I did.
But with the bet I gave to the people –
you covered.
Yeah, you did. Covered. And the game.
You covered.
The under in the Phillies.
And the under in the Phillies.
I did have Houston minus 1.5, though. So.
Yeah.
Oh, 2-1. That insurance run got you. Thought you were going Houston money line.
No.
JV.
The value wasn't there. Hey, JV, though. He looked He got the job done last night.
He got the job done. That's all you can say about Justin Verlander. You said it right, though. You give up a home run on your first pitch.
Oh, I was worried.
And let's be clear, Justin Verlander 0-6 all time in the World Series. It felt like he got the loss in the game four.
Yeah, that's
right. In game one on Friday night, but he didn't end up getting the L in that game. He just blew a 5-run lead. Of course, that game was decided in the 10th on the Realmuto home run. But so 0-6 in his career, but yeah, feels like 0-7. He gets the monkey off his back, gets the big win. Houston gets the win there. Philadelphia gets the win in the NFL game. And we'll look forward to a tremendous weekend of college football. I mean, the biggest game of the year so far in college football will be played tomorrow in Athens, Georgia. And I would argue the biggest game of the year for the Texas Longhorns will be played in Manhattan, Kansas. We'll dive into the college football side of things and into the football weekend, and we'll recap all morning. You can hear Ty is geeked up about this baseball game last night, because it was a good one. It was a good
one. It was unbelievable.
It was a tremendous baseball game. Strategy, defense, pitching, everything you want out of a high leverage ball game like we had last night in Philadelphia. We're just getting warmed up. Get cranked up. Stick with us wherever you are, however you're finding us on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, and stream us. Take us wherever you go on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Friday. Still no Bucky yet. He'll be back hopefully Monday. Had his procedure on Tuesday. We talked to the Buck yesterday. He called in, and you could hear his throat. Of course, he had a procedure on his thyroid. So he had to go in through his throat and his mouth. And says he's feeling okay, but obviously unable to go 4 hours of talking on the radio. So we'll welcome back in again. We can't thank him enough. Ty Harrington, 20 years the head baseball coach at Texas State. Of course, a lifetime Longhorn, former Longhorn coach and captain back in the day for Coach Gus. And he's here talking baseball. What a ball game it was last night. Also, the football. We'll get into the coaching side of Steve Sarkisian. You know, a lot to like about Coach Sark, I think, as far as his relatability and the way the players react to him. But at the same time, short sample size, only 21 games at Texas. But it's, you know, the negative issue continues to be winning on the road and finishing football games, fourth quarters. That continues. It was the bugaboo last year. But I think, you know, last year's way in the past. Even this year, in the three losses, they've been outscored 31-9 in the fourth quarter of those losses. And they've been better in the fourth quarter against Iowa State. I thought they were better in the fourth quarter, you know, in some other games. UTSA jumps to mind. But at the same time, that continues to be a bugaboo. And you, just like in baseball, Coach, you can play a great eight innings. If you can't get the final three outs of the ball game or eight outs of the ball game, first seven or eight don't matter.
Well, sometimes let me back up and say this first. I love Sark's clarity in his voice. I do. I think his message to his team, himself, his staff, and to the public and the fans is unbelievable. I truly do. I think this guy's got an air about him that is different. There's a freshness to it.
Well, I'll say this real quick, and I want you to finish. I thought you played at Texas. You're a lifetime Longhorn, yeah. Burnt orange for sure. And you've been around other coaches who you didn't have the same opinion of as far
that's
as
correct.
Just their personality and the way they handle things.
No, that's very true. And obviously, without saying names. And,
right.
You know, and because people have always been critical at times about things, how I did things too, rightfully so. But I don't – I think his message is different. I think his message is up to date, if that makes sense, with the players and the student-athletes that you're dealing with today in the times that we're dealing with. And I just I like what I hear from him. I agree, the fourth quarter. But sometimes it's not just emotional. Sometimes it's not just executional. Sometimes it is occasionally about your depth and really just how good you are. But that's why you play four quarters. That's why you play nine innings in a game. That's why, you know, a lot of teams will lead in a baseball game through seven, like you just mentioned, right? But you don't have that quality closer that comes in like Presley that nails it down and gets you that five out, and or that, you know, maybe it's that defensive player, whatever that is, that, you know, maybe they're waiting or for somebody to arrive, to grow up, to get better at their positions, whatever, collectively, maybe that's what it is. If they've got the talent, then it becomes about keeping that same message that he's had all along. And maybe this weekend, and we talked about this yesterday, maybe this weekend is that weekend they put it all together. After coming off a bye week, freshness in their legs, some opportunity to create some more offense and defense strategy going into the game. You had a chance to watch them live last weekend. You got to prepare for two quarterbacks. All those things come into play. Maybe this is the weekend they go to – you keep referring. I didn't realize it was a little apple. But anyway, but they go to Manhattan, Kansas, and they are able to put together their best game.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Because, look, you know, keep going back to last year in a 5-7 season – One of the teams they beat was K-State. And this year, yes, they still had some blown leads, but then this year they've also had some dominant performances where the fourth quarter didn't matter. Right? The West Virginia game was over in the fourth quarter. The Oklahoma game was over in the fourth quarter. UTSA was well in hand. Louisiana Monroe, they didn't do that in year one. So there's progress. And obviously Steve Sarkisian's message is resonating with, I think, his locker room. I think we'll see that show up on Saturday night, but also with the recruiting trail, right? He's presenting a vision of what this program is and where it can go. And guys like Arch Manning and this recruiting class, the recruits that came in this year in that great recruiting class are buying in, and I think we're starting to see some of the results of that. But you need results on the field, and that's the opportunity the Longhorns have on the road against the 13th-ranked team in the country. So we'll hear from Sark coming up. He did have his weekly Thursday Zoom conference with the media, so we'll get some thoughts and hear from him coming up. Also on the baseball side, this says, y'all remember a lot when a lot of people were upset the Astros did not re-sign Carlos Correa because we didn't want to lose our star shortstop. Pena has solved that problem quickly. And yes, a lot of people were angry. And maybe the most angry person whenever the Astros have lost one of these great players is my mom, my mother. My mother, who listens every morning on the Horn app down in Houston, she's a dyed-in-the-wool. If I'm an Astros fan, she's like 10. And she, I kept telling her, "Mom, they're going to lose Springer. They're not going to resign Springer. Just be ready. get yourself ready for Springer. He's not going to be back." And then I had to do the same thing with Mom. "They're not resigning Correa." "Well, why not? Well, why not?" "Well, just no. They're not going to resign him. Just be ready to lose him." And the reason that the Astros were willing to move off of Correa and not pay him look at his market. He went to Minnesota. He's already back on the free agent market. Correa was they knew this kid Jeremy Pena was coming, and he's a 25-year-old rookie, but they knew what they had as far as the defensive side of the ball goes, and we've seen that show up as he won a Gold Glove. He's the first rookie shortstop ever to win a Gold Glove. Think about that. Say that is a mouthful. First rookie shortstop ever to win a Gold Glove for the regular season performance. And then here in the postseason, he has been, I keep saying baby Jeter, but he's been Jeter-like in the plays that he makes, the hits that the at-bats that he takes in the biggest moments, Coach. We're talking about the Longhorns trying to close games. This is a baby-faced kid who in the biggest and most clutch moments, whether it's defensively or at the plate, is finding a way. Even the, as you said, the hit and run last night that put the insurance run on the board to get, Altuve's running, so the second baseman's going to cover second, and he takes an inside pitch, keeps his hands inside, and pushes it through the open hole on the right side to push Altuve all the way to third and set up the insurance run. I mean, it's the big things with a home run. It's the little things like we saw in the eighth inning last night.
Every once in a while, baseball, if you play really good and you're good at your craft, baseball comes back and rewards you in a strange way, right? So he does. He gets the homer. You remember a night ago, we were talking about that he was trying to bunt him over.
And he
couldn't bunt, right?
So he gets a hit.
So what did Dusty do? So, yeah, you got to hit that at bat too, right? So what does Dusty do? He say, "Hey, I'm not going to bunt him. I'm going to let him run and hit or hit and run, whichever one it is." And I get a chance to watch the replay, and I'll be able to watch Altuve's eyes, and it'll tell me what the play was. But for him to pull that off, and then the game rewards you every once in a while, who is the last ground ball of the game? It's him. Pena gets a ground ball, and watch him. He serves over to his right, goes over and fields the ball, puts his right foot down, and gets into a great solid throwing position, and I mean throws an absolute strike to the Mancini over there covering first base to end the game. And it was appropriate every once in a while. Like I said, the game comes back to you when you play good and you played hard. You put the time in. Every once in a while, that sucker will circle back to you. And last night, it couldn't have been more fitting for the ground ball to end the game to be hit to him.
Yeah, he was the MVP of the ALCS, and he's putting himself in position to maybe be that for the whole world, for the World Series, too, as a rookie, which is rarefied air for a young player like that. And we knew how important this game was last night to single in the first run in the first, hit the home run in the fourth, and that at bat in the ninth, plus the defense. He's just doing everything for the ball club. And it's a ball club of stars. And that's why I say baby Jeter, because you remember those Yankees teams, so talented. I mean, so many Hall of Famers, so many great players, yet it was Jeter who was the linchpin in big moments on both ends. And we're seeing young Pena do the same thing for the Astros. Not to say Carlos Correa wasn't a great player, but, man, this kid, there's just a different element to him. His father, Geronimo Pena, was a longtime baseball player, so he's grown up with the game in his blood and understand. He's not afraid of the moment. He just goes and makes plays.
He's not afraid of it. He embraces it.
Yes, sir.
And I think I heard this right. He's the first rookie to hit a home run in the World Series. Is that possible?
Rookie shortstop, maybe.
Maybe, because I may not have heard that. Maybe I dreamed it while I was sleeping last night.
Rookie shortstop.
Rookie shortstop, yeah. I knew it was something similar to that, and I just – Man, his maturity on that field and his embracing of the moment, and as you just put it, and it couldn't be, well, but the stage is so – this is the biggest stage, and he just looks like he's just out there having
smiling.
The time of his life. I mean, he hits the home run, he's coming around third base, and he looks in his dugout, and he kind of throws his palms up like, I don't know, you know, I'm just having a good time enjoying this in front of millions of people right now representing the Astros and just getting it done.
Yeah, huge performance last night. Justin Verlander was – solid on the mound, battling through trouble, and the Phillies, they knew how important that game was too, and they played like it. It was a good ball game last night for sure. Astros take the 3-2 lead, and that's the thing, right? I mean, I know there are people that aren't Astros fans, and there are a lot of them who would like to see this run of the Astros come to an end. I know it's been six straight years and four World Series, and you know, six times in a row in the ALCS at least. This team ain't going away, y'all. I mean, yeah. You know, Pena's a rookie. Tucker won a Gold Glove, too. He's just beginning his great career. Yordan Alvarez, a young ball player. Framber Valdez. Christian Javier's 25. You know, the bullpen, you know, Brian Presley's good. But, man, this kid, Brian Abreu, there's your closer of the future.
Wow.
He comes in looking like a linebacker and just throwing 100-mile-an-hour heat that no one wants to deal with. They're good now. But the transition should be a smooth one. And look, Bregman's not even close to done. Altuve's not close to done. Are you kidding me? These guys are locked in for the long haul. So teams rooting for the Astros' demise, even if they win this one. I think this with a kid like Pena at the helm, because he is going to take the leadership role of this team. You can see that coming. You know, he is the next guy to take it from Altuve and Bregman. The winning will continue. And I don't know how much longer Dusty Baker's going to manage and be the skipper, but same time, there'll be a line of people wanting to manage this ball club.
Oh, my gosh. And I don't know how long Dusty's going to do. If they win this year, you know, what does that look like for him and moving forward? Does he want to do it again? With all that, whatever. That'll all come to whatever it becomes. But I'll say this, too. Last night, Bregman got hit on the foot, and I was hoping he did. I wanted that ball to get by him because Altuve was going to second base, putting him in scoring position. And when it hit him, and it looked like it, you know, he finally had to kind of give in and say, yeah, it did hit me. He didn't want to leave the box either because I think he knew with Tucker coming up, and at that time, I think they had Alvarado in the left-handed pitcher, and it was going to be a little bit tougher matchup, and it ended up being that way. But to me, and we talked about this yesterday, Bregman, if you want to teach your kid how to hit, if you want to just take your – I saw a text line here a minute ago, somebody saying, teach my kid how to play baseball at 5 years old, whatever it is, watch his swing. His setup, his rhythm, his time, it's so simple. It is so simple that he can repeat it at any moment, and he can repeat it in the biggest moments. He is able to do that. It's just a simple setup. He does such a guy. He has rhythm. It's a short rhythm, and he gets his hand. Watch that. Right as a pitcher gets to the top, he gets his hand in the launch position and gets set up so that he is ready. There's no big leg kick. There's nothing, no big frills to it, and he is ready to hit at any moment. And again, I think if the Astros win, they're going to go back, and the biggest hit so far was his yesterday the other day with the two-out. With a one-out double down the line that cleared the bases. And the no-hitter game.
And an 0-2 count against a really tough pitcher. All right, we'll come back. When we do, we'll pick up the college football conversation as well as the Astros one win away now. But they were one win away in 2019, couldn't finish the deal at home. Astros need to finish a World Series here. Here come the Phillies to Houston on Saturday night and possibly Sunday night. We'll be back. We'll pick up these conversations, some B&E facts of the day. Quan Cosby talks Longhorn football and a little baseball coming up in our Coach's Corner next hour. It's a busy Friday here on B&E.
Real Texans are genius.
Bud Light salutes you, Mr. Unnecessarily Big Pickup Owner.
Oh, so big.
Some people drive trucks, but you drive a pickup that generates its own gravitational pull. Where did you park? Oh, yeah, that spot and most of that spot.
Is that even legal?
Yes, you're brewed in Texas, and so is your Bud Light. Enjoy responsibly. Texas Edition Bud Light beer cans. Anheuser-Busch, Houston, Texas.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings. It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E, this is a Friday morning. Normally this spot we get you some B&E facts of the day. It's a fact that there's a big storm coming. Looks like right about through the drive time, the heaviest of the rain is that cold front makes its way from west to east through all of the state of Texas, north to south. Be advised of that. Looks like 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock are the depending on where you live, obviously, within that west to east movement. That's your best chance for the big rain today. And it looks like there's some severe weather alerts as far as tornadoes and tornadic activity. Most of that is north of us up near the Metroplex and then east of the Metroplex. But certainly, you know, a fall storm with the heat and humidity we're dealing with right now meets a cold front coming. Who knows what's going to happen? So we'll keep an eye on that this afternoon. You should keep an eye on the skies. Might be right about your drive time home this afternoon. So be advised of that. Also, on a B&E Fact of the Day, you started the show, Ty Harrington, saying if you're a baseball geek like yourself, last night's game was everything you want. And maybe here's why. Did you know that there were – a good friend of mine, our neighbor, sent me this note this morning. Says there were 78 different plate appearances in the game last night. 78 different plate appearances. There was only one plate appearance in the entire game where the batter didn't have a shot to at least tie the game.
Wow. How about
that?
Yeah,
Twitter
makes
analytics.
Sense. 2-1.
Yeah.
1-0, 1-1, 2-1.
3-1 was the largest.
3-1.
But that was the eighth inning.
Yeah, and I guess the leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
In the eighth would, yeah, because they went walk, strikeout walk.
Yeah.
Or no, white, or walk. And by the way, an unbelievable at bat because he threw three fastballs.
Montero?
Montero right at that bottom of the strike zone. And I think it was Castellanos, right?
Yeah.
He took both of them. I mean, he had unbelievable at-bats all night long. At-bats.
So when you say edge-of-your-seat stuff, I mean, every batter outside of one, out of 78 plate appearances, 77 batters had a chance to either tie the game or take the lead. That's crazy good. I mean, that is unlike games, you know, most of the games in this series. I mean, the Astros blasted out early, and then game one turned into a tough and tight, went into the 10th inning, which was a lot of fun, a lot of a nightmare for the Astros fans. Game two was all Astros with Framber Valdez in the lead, and then I know we know what happened in game three with the home runs and the Phillies dominated, and then the no-hitter, once the Astros broke it open 5-0, they were on cruise control for the back end, just seeing if they could finish off the no-no. This game was edge-of-your-seat stuff from the jump, and heck, Astros get a run in the first. Schwarber comes right back with a homer on the first pitch. What a ball game. What a ball game. We also had some football last night in the NFL. We're going to get into that game. Eagles beat the Texans 29-17. A lot of Cowboys fans watching that game thinking, oh, they're beatable. They're beatable. I don't think you're going to – when the Cowboys play the Eagles in Arlington later in the year, they're not going to see that team that was a little bit sluggish last night on a Thursday night. But either way, we'll get into it. But let me play this Steve Sarkisian for you because you were just talking about it, coach to coach, about Sark, and you like his message. This is one of the things that I think you have to appreciate about Sark is – you know, Quinn Ewers played a rough game last time they played up in Oklahoma City, right? 30 incompletions at Stillwater, windy day, defense was confusing him. He wasn't on. He didn't read the field very well. But this is where a guy like Sark can sit with him and say, look, I've been there. I've been there before. Because he was a quarterback at a high level. He was at BYU playing for Norm Chow on the offensive side and the great Lavelle Edwards. And here's Sark when asked if you had a game like that you had to bounce back from. Here's Sark, and I'm assuming a conversation he's had with Quinn Ewers over the last couple of weeks.
My junior year, we were playing Utah at home, big game. I threw three picks in the first half. I threw another one in the second half. They booed my mom out of the stadium. No, she left because they were booing me so bad. It was a tough day, you know. And then I turned around the next week and went and played Fresno State for a conference championship and went 31-34 for 400 yards and broke an NCAA record. So, you know, one game should never define us. You got to get back to work. You got to get back on the horse and you got to start riding again.
Interesting, because I mean, you and the sports you love, baseball. I mean, failure is the game. I mean, it's if you can handle failure, you can be okay, because everyone's going to. There's Sark able to talk to Quinn Ewers and say, "Look, guy, you're a young guy. You had a bad day. Maybe I should have pulled you out and maybe gone with someone else but I didn't. We'll figure that out." But you know, Sark can really relate to a quarterback like Quinn or any player that's having a bad Saturday, because they happen.
I think that's why he stuck with him too. One, he knows he's the guy of the future. Let's stick with him. But he's an ex-quarterback. He knows what that's like to be replaced or could be replaced type, you know, thing. And then he also knows what it's like. You come back the next day or the next game, whichever it may be. And that is the part of the psyche of coaching quarterbacks, coaching pitchers, or whatever it may be in sports at a very high level. And that's why we'll get the chance maybe to see this week. If it paid off staying with him.
With the extra forward. Week.
Yep.
And heck, it was Quinn Ewers after the game in Stillwater in the locker room saying, I just have to practice better. I have to practice better. I understand now what they're talking about in practice when things aren't going well. We got to be more on point day to day, and we'll carry that into Saturday. We'll talk to Quan Cosby about that. He didn't have very many bad days at Texas when he was playing.
He didn't.
But I'm sure he had some bad days along the way. We'll jump into that coming up. It's B&E with you. Ty Harrington, so nice to be with us again this morning with Bucky out. Ty Henderson is here as well. You are here. That makes it the show of the people on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming always on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.